you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Some people just know the more you protect, the more you save with Allstate. Because they know insurance math. Like if you protect your home and auto, Allstate can save you up to 25%. So it's like losing money if you don't bundle. Save more when you protect more. Bundle home and auto with Allstate today.
Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Longing for thick, healthy, gorgeous hair? Hair Volume from New Nordic is trusted by millions of women around the world. With clinically proven ingredients like apple extract, biotin, and millet, Hair Volume nourishes your hair follicles to promote thicker, healthier-looking hair. Say goodbye to shedding thin and dull hair, and hello to thick, healthy hair with Hair Volume. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, NewNordicUSA.com, or at your local CVS.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Former President Trump meets virtually today with probation officers for the first time since his conviction in the New York hush money trial. The information will be given to Judge Juan Marchand ahead of the July 11th sentencing. Mr. Trump also zoomed into the Life and Liberty Forum today. It's hosted by the Danbury Institute, which has taken a strong stance against reproductive rights.
I want to thank each and every one of you for your tremendous devotion to God and to country and your tremendous support of me, and I hope I've earned it because we've done things that nobody thought were possible.
Mr. Trump did not reference abortion during his remarks. Closing arguments have ended in Hunter Biden's felony gun trial. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is leaning on nations across the Middle East to push Hamas to accept the current ceasefire deal. The Dow is up 44 points, heading for the close. This is ABC News. The struggle is real. Martha's Vineyard is running out of pot.
The shelves at the two cannabis dispensaries on Martha's Vineyard are getting emptier and emptier, and unless something happens, by September, the vacation island could be completely out. One problem is location. Weed is legal in Massachusetts, but the state's Cannabis Control Commission says transporting it across the ocean could be a violation of federal law. Another problem, the only local grower on the island will stop harvesting this summer, leaving hundreds of medical marijuana users and thousands of recreational users without a place to buy. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Millions of people across the West are bracing for record-breaking temperatures as a massive heat dome moves across the country. Forecasters say Northern California could get another stretch of triple-digit temperatures. Fire danger is also starting to rise. Parts of the Bay Area, the Sacramento Valley, are in moderate risk zone for wildfire potential, partly due to higher than normal temperatures and low humidity. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not a rate based on Terry who keeps and makes the car behind them. Oh no, they're about to. Save with DriveWise in the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Following inmate deaths at Waupun, budget writers in the Wisconsin legislature are looking at the Wisconsin Department of Corrections.
Last week saw criminal charges filed in Dodge County against 9 employees at Waupun Correctional Institution, including the former warden. Joint Finance Committee co-chairs Representative Mark Bourne on replacing the Waupun and Green Bay prisons.
We should continue those discussions. We can run safer, more cost-effective prisons if they're more current facilities. So those discussions should continue.
Bourne added that updating the two prisons, parts of which are more than a century old, probably wouldn't be the best use of resources. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Governor Tony Evers is proposing the largest budget increase ever proposed for the universities of Wisconsin system.
Being 42nd in the nation in state support does not cut it.
Evers told the Board of Regents Friday his next biennial budget will call for an increase of over $400 million in each year. 7 four-year campuses are facing budget shortfalls, and UW-Oshkosh has exhausted its reserves. Republicans on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee have rejected the Democratic governor's previous UW budget requests. A company seeks to foreclose on the home of the Milwaukee Bucks G League team, the Milwaukee Herd. Bayland Buildings has filed a notice of mortgage foreclosure on Oshkosh Arena, citing owner Fox Valley Pro Basketball has no money and is behind on mortgage payments. And Oshkosh City Manager Mark Roloff says they've heard nothing from company president Greg Pierce about paying $626,000 in property taxes for this year.
Those are what was actually due immediately after January 31st when they failed to make their first payment. According to law, once you're delinquent, the entire amount is due.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Plenty of sunshine in the sky today as a high-pressure system sits overhead, providing calm winds and comfortable temperatures in the low 70s. We'll stay clear again tonight and fall quite crisp. Then we get a little wet tomorrow with some showers and storms. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
And thanks for being with us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on today's program, after the bottom of the hour in segment three, we're going to sit down with Lance Zimmerman from Rabobank. He's their senior analyst of beef on the beef protein side. We're going to talk with Lance about the beef industry, the cattle market, and the latest global beef quarterly for quarter two out from Rabobank. So we'll get to that conversation coming up here after the bottom of the hour. We'll also have a look at news headlines later in the show as well in segment four. Weather coming up in the next segment with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. Some talk of maybe a little bit of heat building into the Corn Belt here as we get into this week. And next, we're going to talk about that, no doubt, and other weather details from around the country and around the world all coming up in segment two here today on AOA. Let's start the show, though, and get a rundown of what's happening in the markets. Joining us now, Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, thanks for joining us once again as we get back to some trade action here on Monday. It feels a little quiet in the row crops, at least, Darren.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's kind of that time of year. Kind of a new, we're going to get to where, you know, the two biggest days are going to be Friday trading weather forecast. We'll try the trading weekend weather forecast before the fact, and then overnight through Monday when we trade what actually happened weather-wise over the weekend. We're just not quite there yet. So, you know, John, your next guest, is certainly, this is going to be his busiest time of year. So it's going to be interesting to hear what he has to say. And you know, you mentioned some heat rolling in. Again, I'm interested to hear John's take on it, but it is summertime and the market knows that. And so we'll see, you know, if it's going to have to be an extended period, it's going to have to be, you know, abnormal or unusual, I think, to really cause much of a stir in the markets at this point.
Well, let's take a look at what's happened in these markets. As I mentioned, a little quiet, and you mentioned, you know, seasonality, watching weather here. I know for quarter beans in particular, kind of sitting below some major moving averages, and it looked like Friday's commitment to traders report showed managed money added to their short positions in quarter beans.
They did, and that's what was interesting to me. You know, if we go back and look at where we were, you know, a week ago Tuesday, you know, corn, July corn closed 20 cents lower Tuesday to Tuesday, and we saw when the commitment to traders report, legacy futures only is the one I look at, when it came out, the funds had increased their net short futures position by 68,300 contracts, and that included new shorts of 69,540. So that was sizable selling. And so, you know, the question that comes to my mind, you know, we only lost, quote unquote, only lost 20 cents. So what kept the brakes on the market? Well, that was from the commercial side. You know, we saw the July, September, the carry in the July, September weaken as the week went on. We saw basis firm last week. So all of this is kind of pointing to when we see our next round of export demand, first on Monday's weekly export inspections and on Thursday's sales and shipments. I'm expecting to see some pretty good numbers, at least for the corn market. It was a similar story in soybeans, where the July contract lost, you know, something like, you know, over 50 cents from Tuesday to Tuesday, and didn't really change much through the end of the week. And as it turned out, you know, we saw that funds had increased their net short position by about 26,000, almost 26,100 contracts. So, you know, it was just a thing where funds have been selling. They don't have a reason to buy. We also went into the Goldman roll last Friday, where the big Goldman fund starts to move its position. So there's a lot of outside market things going on at this point. And without any real fundamental reason to get overly excited about the markets, it's just been putting pressure on both corn and soybeans.
Well, on the flip side here in the wheat market, I know looked like managed money last week only combined about 8,000 contracts of net selling, I think is what I saw. But, you know, wheat continuing to push lower here, like nine sessions in a row now. I think wheat's been going to the downside. Just feels like that rally in the wheat trade has kind of hit the skids here, Darren.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. We did see, and kind of going back to what we talked about in corn, you know, we saw where a lot of pressure in the wheat market, but yet the non-commercial positions didn't change all that much for the three contracts, as you said, about 8,000 contracts. So that tells us it was a lot of fundamentals, or excuse me, a lot of commercial selling tied to fundamentals. And both winter wheat markets are a train wreck right now, particularly over in Chicago, soft red winter, where the nearby July-September future spread closed, covering something like 87% calculated full commercial carry last Friday. And if we look at, you know, what's important here, what the key is here, is that the CME is running a variable storage rate tracking period right now for the soft red winter market and hard red winter, but that's not really a concern at this point. In the soft red winter, the daily running average is now over 80% of full carry, and this only runs through the end of Friday, June 21st. And what it looks like is if we stay on this path, then we're going to see the commercial storage rate go up again for soft red winter wheat, again indicating just how bearish the supply and demand is. And if so, the official rate's going to go up to almost 11 cents per bushel per month. And that's incredible to me. You know, that is quite, I mean, that just tells you how cumbersome this supply and demand situation is. And harvest really hasn't even gotten rolling yet in soft red winter. And so by the time it does, we get these new bushels coming in. I just think it's going to continue to put pressure on these spreads, and it's, you're almost going to lock in that 11 cents per bushel per month.
Good perspective on that, Darren. And real quick here before we wrap up, a lot of focus going to be on, well, take your pick, financial related news and meetings this week. We got CPI data, PPI data, jobless claims, and the Federal Reserve is going to kick off their next meeting on Tuesday. Your thoughts on all the outside market news that's going to be in front of us here this week?
We're going to see some moving around in the markets. But the bottom line is, again, markets aren't telling us really that anything's going to change. And I think the key here is going to be the FOMC meeting, which culminates Wednesday with the next announcement on interest rates. And by all measures, it looks like it's going to stay unchanged again, at least through mid-September, if not early November, those two meetings. So I'm not expecting a change. And so what that means is we could continue to see strength in the U.S. dollar, which it's, you know, posted a solid rally overnight through early Monday morning. I think that's going to continue, you know, at least up through that late fall timeframe. But we'll see what happens. I know there's going to be a lot of knee-jerk reaction across the landscape in the financial market. So, again, we'll just have to see how all this plays out.
Very true. Well, and of course, that dollar has been moving higher, and that in itself has been acting as a fairly significant headwind here for a lot of commodities, hasn't it, Darren?
It can. You know, historically, that's been the argument. You know, I would state that, you know, we've seen wheat move up at the same time as the dollar. Mm-hmm. So I think what we're actually seeing is a diminished interest in global currencies, and it's more of a political game at this point rather than economic standards that buyers are looking at.
Learn more at DarrenNewsom.com. With that, Senior Market Analyst for Bar Chart, Darren Newsom, always good to talk with you on AOA, sir. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you for having me on again, Jesse.
Darren Newsom there with Bar Chart joining us here today on AOA. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at weather. Are we going to see some sustained heat in the Corn Belt this week? John Baranek with DTN will join us next with the latest forecast details here on AOA.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheesemakers produce over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheeses? Americans' per capita cheese consumption was 33.5 pounds in 2011, and a 1-ounce slice of Wisconsin cheese contains about the same amount of protein as an 8-ounce glass of milk. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by BioVet. BioVet offers a complete line of products, including capsules, pastes, soluble powders, calf and cattle electrolytes, and daily feed additives for your dairy herd. Find out more by visiting bio-vet.com.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Well, let's take a look at weather as things really start to come into focus for the growing season as we get into the month of June. I know some folks still trying to wrap up their planting in some areas or some prevent plant, but for the most part, sounds like this crop is in the ground across the country, and now that focus really shifts over to what are we going to see for rainfall, heat, weather patterns, etc., and sounds like maybe some heat building into parts of the Corn Belt here this week. Let's get the details. John Baranek, DTN meteorologist, is with us here today. John, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Jesse. Glad to be on with you and talking. I know we've been pretty busy talking about weather for a while now. And Mother Nature just wants to keep that rolling. I mean, even in this quote-unquote drier pattern that we're in right now, we've still got a couple of systems moving through. And, she just doesn't want to give that up, especially for those in the upper Midwest that have been really wet, been really hard to get some of those acres in the Dakotas and Minnesota planted. And got a couple more systems moving through here, one today and tomorrow, and another one Wednesday and Thursday. So really, really kind of bang with them. Not a whole lot of ton of rain with these, but you know, it's just annoying for those people that are still too wet and are just, you know, they want to get their crop in the ground, but it might be a little difficult to do so.
Mm-hmm. Just enough to slow them down in some parts, especially northern plains, upper Midwest. And I know we've continued to see various pop-up showers in parts of the plains, as well as we get some of that early hard red wheat harvest going in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas, etc. So as you look at systems here, you mentioned what we're seeing in the northern plains. What else are you watching as far as potential rain activity this week? Let's start there first.
Yeah, I mean, outside of those couple of little storms, there's not a whole lot going on for this week. So it is a drier pattern, especially if you live down in the south, outside of the Florida Peninsula. You know, pretty decent weather the next couple of days. You know, some milder temperatures are moving through a lot of areas. But, you know, as we get towards the end of the week, that's when we start to see a big shift. And we get this the ridge that's out in the west. We've had some triple digit days out there in the west for, you know, since last week, really. That ridge will be moving eastward here later this week, and we'll really start cranking up the heat. And there's maybe a little bit between a couple of these systems here for midweek, but it's really this weekend and into next week where we're going to see it, especially across the eastern half of the country. It's really going to kind of park itself out there in the Ohio Valley down to the southeast. And that does two things. One, it gets us real warm out there in, you know, places like Illinois, Ohio, farther south. You know, days in the 90s are going to be on the docket. But it also opens up the Gulf of Mexico quite a bit. So we'll see moisture streaming in off the Gulf. And there's quite a few disturbances down there. Nothing that probably turns into something like a tropical storm, but you know, if we get some waves of moisture moving in, either, you know, just, you know, some wetter air moving through to feed some thunderstorms, or some actual, you know, moderate to heavy rain, we could you know, cool down things a little bit, but to also get some moisture into some places that might benefit from it there across the south. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, with that ridge setting up over the east, that means we got to have its opposite in the west, and that's a trough. And that means a very active pattern here through the central U.S. coming up here this weekend and through probably all of next week. So expect it to get active yet again here across the middle of the country. It'll be interesting to see just how far east we can get some of this rainfall to move, because my models aren't really high on a whole bunch of rainfall over the eastern half of the Corn Belt. So, you know, we've been wet for a really long time there. But now we start cranking up the heat and turning off the spigot. All of a sudden we could see our high soil moisture turn into low soil moisture really quickly. So we'll be, you know, keen on that, especially here for the eastern half of the Corn Belt. And then, you know, the other question mark will be, you know, do we get some of these tropical things to actually pump in a whole bunch of moisture? Do we stay super wet across the plains? You know, we haven't seen that going into summer very often here across the Central Plains. You know, Nebraska and Kansas have, you know, taken some pretty big hits over the last few years, not being able to get a whole bunch of moisture in there during the summer. But this setup is actually a pretty good one to do that. And it's a little unusual. We weren't exactly expecting this, and it might just shift and we see, mm-hmm. we see something, you know, completely changing here for July. But, you know, for the second half of June, it's a pretty extended period here of some good rainfall chances across the western half of the Corn Belt.
Well, think about some of those rainfall chances interspersed with this heat moving in. You know, anytime you start talking heat moving in, I know that perks up some folks' ears a little bit, wondering, okay, how long does it last? How, you know, how many showers do we see? So, I mean, as you kind of look out through the rest of the month and going with what you were talking about there, John, I mean, could we see an extended bout with heat? Are we really going to crank up that thermostat here, or are we going to be, you know, seeing some moderation here and some ebb and flow in temperatures, John?
Well, there's going to be some ebb and flow, right? Especially if it's not going to be consistent for the next 2 weeks or so. But, you know, it's really interesting to see these models, Jesse, that they don't really want to move this ridge. Once they set it up here across the eastern portion of the country, they don't want to move it all the way through the end of the month. So we'll be probably dealing with it for quite some time. Now, once we get into July, that's a great question. Where does this ridge move? Usually they don't stay in a large area for a long period of time. And when they move, they usually move westward, which is kind of, you know, counterintuitive, but you know, we should probably see this kind of what we call retrograde back into the plains and then into the west going into July. Not guaranteed that that's going to happen, but that that's usually the pattern that sets up, and we'll be carefully watching this because you know, the heat is intense out of this, and it really stems out from Mexico, honestly. Mm-hmm. And the insane drought that they've had down there has really been pumping up temperatures. You know, we saw that shift into the southwest last week very significantly, and is drying things out there as well. And so, you know, you build up all this area with you know, a lot of leftover heat, not a whole lot of moisture to keep temperatures down, and that's just going to be a constant source of heat for us for the summer.
We're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, let's look elsewhere around the globe here as we continue to keep an eye on South America, of course. That Safrida corn crop in Brazil is starting to near the finish line. They've had some heat building in down there, though. What's the latest in South America?
Yeah, they sure have. And you're right, they're nearing maturity. I know that harvest has already started up in some areas, especially in that big state of Mato Grosso, which is, you know, produces like 40-45% of their Safrina corn. So that's moving along, but I mean, they haven't seen a drop of rain in that state for like, oh geez, it's been about 2 months. So they've gone through a long time here of some poor weather conditions. Of course, they usually see that, but maybe not to the extent they saw this year. And, you know, southern Safrina corn areas have had very, very low amounts of rainfall. Usually they can count on some of these fronts moving up from Argentina. They just haven't happened. They got stuck farther south and created all that flooding in Rio Grande do Sul and haven't really gotten much into those southern areas. And, you know, they've been maturing quickly, too, because without those fronts coming in, they don't get any break from the heat either. So a lot of that is advancing a little bit more than they typically see as well. Later this week, they do get a front moving in back into southern Brazil. It's been very dry down there, so they've been able to see that flooding recede. But that front coming in will kind of exacerbate things a little bit, and they're trying to get out and plant their winter wheat. That's going to be tough to do. But that Safrina corn there, you know, it's getting on to be that time where even if we do see some rainfall here, it's not going to be all that helpful for them, and it's going to start messing with harvest. So that's kind of what we're looking at down there for Brazil and that Safrina corn crop.
Real quick, got about a minute. Black Sea region, we continue to talk about issues there for wheat. Any notes for us over there?
And much like, you know, what wheat's doing here in the U.S., that's going to start winding down too. They've been a lot hotter out there. And they've had temperatures in the 90s, and some areas have had triple-digit heat out there with, you know, some of these areas not seeing rainfall in a couple of months. So it's been real tough. for those folks out there in eastern Ukraine and southwestern Russia, as their wheat kind of nears the finish line here. They might see some isolated showers throughout this week. They do get a better shot here this weekend, but you know, it's probably too little too late for their wheat crop, honestly. And even behind that system, temperatures are still going to be well above normal, you know, talking mid upper 80s, low 90s out there. So really pushing things along faster than they'd like it to be. And, you know, that's really, you know, we're talking about how that's affecting wheat, but you know, eventually that's going to start affecting their corn and sunflower crops too. So we'll see some good support if those conditions don't turn around here this summer.
Learn more and follow the latest weather at DTNPF.com. John Baranek, thanks for joining us this week. Appreciate it.
Always good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on, Jesse.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk about the latest Global Beef Quarterly from Rabobank with Lance Zimmerman. He'll join us next on AOA. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins at the Mercantile Exchange. July milk up 67 to 2063. August up 63 to 2097. September up 50 cents to 2080. October milk up 30 to 2034. Live and feeder cattle markets had triple-digit gains on the day as the markets continue to move mostly higher due to the higher boxed beef prices and expectations of increasing packer demand. The first day of the video auction sale of the summer, the Superior Corn Belt Classic, also was underway today. That is also helping to support the market. Hogs mostly lower as the market waits to see what demand surfaces this week. While midday pork cutoff values were higher, the trade still wants to see steady, stable demand. June live cattle up $1.75 to $183.92. August feeder cattle up $3.72 to $258.65. June hogs down 27 cents to $92.25. Chicago Board of Trade corn and soybeans were mostly higher on the day. Planting should wrap up with the more open forecast this week. And the crop conditions should be strong, but there's also an extended forecast that shows warmer and drier weather moving in. Wheat markets mostly lower due to harvest pressure and rain being reported in wheat growing areas of Russia. New crop corn up 1 to 468 and a quarter. New crop beans up 1 to 1158 and 3 quarters. July wheat down 20. Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way.
Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as we take a look at the cattle markets and overall beef demand, we want to talk about the latest global beef quarterly for quarter number two of 2024, just out from Rabobank, and have a discussion overall about things. Joining us here on the program, he is Senior Analyst Animal Protein at Rabobank. Lance Zimmerman is with us here today. Lance, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jesse. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, I know this brand new quarter two beef quarterly, global beef quarterly out from Rabobank here just in the last couple of days. And let's use that as our jumping off point. What were some of the big takeaways that you guys found in terms of global beef, the global beef outlook and more here, Lance?
Yeah, I think one of the great things is you think about the global market is we're operating in a global environment where I think we really have two markets, two different tiers of markets, two different reactions to the market right now. You have two countries that are leading with higher, stronger, near record high or record high prices, and that would be the U.S. and Canada markets right here in North America. And then you have a marketplace where things are a little bit more stagnant. Australia, New Zealand, Uruguay, Argentina, even Brazil would fit into that price trend where prices have been softer as we've gone from 2022 through 2023 and into 2024, as a lot of those countries, as we think about the differences between that those higher trending global markets and these lower trending ones, is, I think, supply. Brazil, Australia, New Zealand, even some of those Central American countries and South American countries, all seeing steady to stronger supplies, being markets that their supply potential outpaces their domestic demand, even in many instances where they're much more dependent on trade. In the U.S. and Canada, we have a much stronger domestic base. And even if you argue Canada doesn't have this robust domestic base, they're neighboring to the U.S. And so those tighter supplies that exist in both the U.S. and Canada are translating back to better support for that marketplace and for beef and cattle markets in general.
I think in terms of supply, especially just U.S. focused here, of course, we've been talking about it for a couple of years now, the downtrend in the cattle herd here in the U.S., the eventual rebuilding of the cattle herd that feels like it's close, maybe not quite there yet. In terms of just this U.S. market in general, let's pick that apart a little bit here, Lance. I mean, where do things stand as we continue to see very strong prices here, futures, cash, etc., as we work into the summer months?
Yeah, you know, I think we've had this discussion many times over the last couple of years of when do we get the U.S. beef industry transitioning back to a herd rebuild. And as you and I've talked over time, I've said the first thing we got to do is just get back to stabilization. And I think the message that I would have for your listeners is that I think we're entering into a phase of stabilization. We're slowly but surely getting there. You know, when you look at the supply dynamics taking place in the U.S. right now, when we look at the slaughter decline that we're going through, and we look at those first quarter numbers, cattle slaughter is lower, basically 6% year to date through that first quarter window. But cow and bull slaughter is really leading the way in terms of the year over year deficit. It's down 13% compared to steer and heifer slaughter only being down 4% through those first 3 months of the year. We're starting to see cow slaughter, specifically beef cow slaughter, really shrink. On the dairy cow slaughter, some pretty considerable declines year over year there. They went through last year, and we're starting to see ratio really strong. And so as a result, I think the good news is the culling activity is slowing. We haven't leaned mention. The April 1 cattle on feed numbers that were challenges, you talk to folks throughout the Central Plains and they'll be pretty quick to tell you grass looks green, crops are planted, wheat harvest looks promising, but there's not a lot of pasture and stream water yet. They've had just enough moisture through the winter and just enough moisture through the spring to make things look really good, but they also know we're getting into that hot season, right? We're starting to feel that as we've entered into June, July, and August, we're really going to lean into that aggressive heat. We'll probably turn the country pretty dry again as we navigate through summer, unless we get unseasonally wetter the next several weeks and months. But overall, producers have enough optimism to not sit there and lean farther into liquidation. Gives us an opportunity as we get towards fall to watch those calf sales and see if we get some heifer retention as we get to the fall run.
We're talking with Lance Zimmerman, Senior Analyst, Animal Protein at Rabobank, here today on the show. Lance, in terms of export and or import demand on the beef side here, thinking U.S. specifically, but also globally, we can kind of rope this all together. Any big notes on that side of the equation that you guys are watching right now?
Yeah, as you look at imports over the last 12 months, just so we don't get some weird seasonal inconsistencies in the data, over the last 12 months, U.S. beef imports are up 15%. Of course, when we talk about importing countries, we're really talking about five main players: Canada, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, and Brazil. And of those five main countries, the two leading with growth over that 12-month period are Australia and New Zealand. Australia is up almost 50%. New Zealand's up almost 30%. We're going to continue to lean more into imports going forward. When you look at our domestic 90% lean trim market, you know, we're putting in new record highs, $350 a pound on a wholesale basis. That's pretty attractive when you think about bringing in additional lean beef imports. And Australia and New Zealand fit that bill very well. Conversely, you look at the choice select spread dynamic we're in right now, it's been considerably narrower than last year. It's not because of weaker choice beef demand. Actually, I would tell you, you look at choice ribeye strip prices and the like, yeah, they're not at all-time highs, but they're still historically strong. A lot of the narrowness in the choice select spread is we're seeing a little bit more demand from the select side of the meat case, whether that's food service demand, whether that's the retail consumer transitioning and trading down a little bit, it's still a little bit hard to tell. We certainly know there's some trading down happening, but I do think that that select market being stronger is going to make it attractive for Mexico to be exporting into the U.S. And conversely, U.S. buyers will be interested in that Mexico product, especially if we have some weakness introduced into that peso longer term.
You mentioned Australia in there, and I know you just returned from a two-week trip to Australia to kind of take a look at their cattle industry and much more. What were some takeaways you got from being on the ground in Australia, Lance?
One of the really interesting things when I was over there, and I had the chance to do multiple presentations, almost a dozen presentations, met with over 600 bank clients face-to-face. What was amazing to me is just getting reinforced that idea that we've talked about before, but to see it realized, is how when the U.S. cattle producer is stressed out, the Australian producer is usually doing pretty good, and vice versa. I was last in Australia in 2014. Times were pretty good in the U.S. cattle business then, and those Australian producers were struggling. Right now, we're the producer group globally going through our own fair share of struggles. While prices are better, optimism's still not fully rekindled. And that's been the exact opposite in Australia. they went through 3 years of massive drought in 17, 18, 19, when we still had it quite good. We were still rebuilding the cow herd in that time. Now we've gone through 3 to 5 years of some real bad weather challenges and margin challenges. It's been one of the better 5 year stretches there in Australia. And so the big question they had was the same one we did just talked through. When are we going to go through that herd rebuild? They're seeing the growth in imports from the US and they're excited about that. But really what they're also looking at is how can they also just have a better, more dynamic demand factor in their markets as they can hopefully take on a little bit more export business. Because as our domestic prices go up, we're less competitive in that global space. And they're seeing some of that. We talked about imports earlier. U.S. beef exports are down about 13% over that same 12-month period. Our three biggest markets are South Korea, Japan, and China. And our exports to those countries in the U.S. is down 25% year over year in that 12-month window. Conversely, Australia has been able to creep into that market a little bit more over the last 12 months and perhaps see a little bit more material benefit there than even just the U.S. import increase. Their product isn't going to replace ours one-to-one. They recognize that. Even their grain-fed product, they only feed it about 100 days. We feed ours 180 days today. And so it is a different product, but they recognize that a rising tide lifts all boats. And if we're putting less product in the global marketplace, they can lean more into that. And that's good for them because cyclically, they're producing a lot of beef right now.
Well, again, folks can find more online, research.robobank.com. And with that, always enjoy a conversation about the beef industry. Lance Zimmerman, Senior Analyst, Animal Protein for Robobank. Lance, good to talk with you again. We'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jesse.
All right, coming up next, we'll take a look at news headlines as we wrap up today's show. Back with more AOA right after this.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that the first June Dairy Month was celebrated in Wisconsin in 1939? Dairy Month was intended to showcase the national dairy industry in the face of drastic milk surpluses and plummeting milk prices. In 1944, Dairy Month was celebrated to promote dairy as vital to victory during World War II. Cheesemakers produce over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheese. This message is brought to you by Wisconsin Credit Union. 14 locations to serve you. WisconsinCU.org. Wisconsin Credit Union, where they say, we belong to you.
Our community is made up of lots of different members with different interests and dreams. The same is true with our members at Wisconsin Credit Union, who count on us for lots of different things to help pursue those interests and dreams. From a range of savings and checking accounts to loans, mortgages, and financial planning, as well as specialized business accounts and services too. And unlike banking at some places where you're just a number, when you bank at Wisconsin Credit Union, you're actually an owner in a not-for-profit cooperative, which is how we can offer higher rates and lower fees and exceptional customer service. Plus, all the latest conveniences, too. You can even open accounts, apply for loans, and become a member online or by visiting any of our convenient locations. So, whatever your interests, dreams, or financial needs, anytime is the right time to join Wisconsin Credit Union. Start at wisconsincu.org. Member eligibility required. Equal opportunity lender. Member NCUA.
Corn Growers Association, we hear from NCGA lead economist Krista Swanson as we talk about the latest news surrounding 40B and 45Z tax credit incentives for sustainable aviation fuel, the biofuel industry, and the updated GREET modeling for farmers to participate.
So this updated model requires farmers to bundle the use of no-till practices, enhanced efficiency fertilizers, and cover crops in order to meet the standards that are now required for the eventual SAF to qualify for the tax credit. And now this is really concerning to National Corn Growers Association because this model requires farmers to implement environmental practices that just aren't practical for every corn acre across the really large and expansive geographic region in which corn is grown in the U.S.
Hear the full conversation on the AOA podcast channel and have your voice heard and learn more at ncga.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
All right, welcome back to AOA. As we take a look at news headlines here on the show, while partisan farm bill differences continue in Washington, D.C., they cropped up again at a recent Senate Ag Panel hearing on beginning farmers. Republicans want more farm of the farm bill, but retiring Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow of Michigan says boosting price support triggers or reference prices could come at a cost to beginning farmers.
The House proposal to increase these programs by 70%. Extraordinary 70% increase in payments, and relax and remove payment ineligibility limits for the biggest farms will make land rents even more unaffordable for beginning farmers.
Arguing that making crop insurance more affordable is a better option than forcing new farmers to buy expensive land with base acres that get automatic payments. But top Senate Ag Republican John Bozeman says it's not that simple when new farmers have many needs.
ARC, PLC, crop insurance, the milk program, disaster programs, all of those things, so that you've got the ability to hedge your risk. That's really the bottom line. It's so very difficult. So we're working hard to do that. And we talk about putting more farm in the farm bill. And that's really what we're trying to do.
And without updating old reference prices, Mississippi grower Christian Good says more affordable base acres will mean little.
The reference prices at those price levels would not sustain our farmer operation or our family farms operation. So, you know, base acres is a discussion, but I think when we look at the importance of reference prices with base, without the reference price to support it, there's not much price support that's actually happening.
Especially Good and other new farmers argue with soaring input costs. Well, AM radio is a lifeline for many individuals, particularly those living in rural areas with limited access to reliable internet or cell phone coverage. In 2023, several automakers announced they had removed or planned to remove broadcast AM radio receivers from electric vehicles due to electromagnetic interference generated by electric batteries. AM radio helps keep rural residents apprised of news that may impact their businesses, health care, education, and family. It's also available when the power goes out and cell towers go offline. The AM radio for every vehicle act ensures this essential service is accessible to all Americans. The American Farm Bureau, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the National Association of Farm Broadcasting are asking you to let lawmakers know how important AM radio is and ask them to support the act. You can go to the Farm Bureau website and participate in the action alert by sending a message at fb.org/action-alert. Again, that's fb.org/action-alert. Well, the World Pork Expo brought topics of pork production to the forefront of producers' minds last week in Des Moines, Iowa. While we haven't heard as much about African swine fever, it is still a threat and an integral part of ensuring the industry and its producers have the protections they need to prevent a foreign animal disease from taking hold. Dr. Anna Forsyth is Director of Animal Health with the National Pork Producers Council and talks about where things are with African swine fever.
I've been getting a comment recently that it seems like it's slowed down. We're not hearing as much about African swine fever. And I would agree that we're not hearing as much about African swine fever, but I think the message that I would like producers to hear is that the threat remains. It's not like countries are eradicating this virus. ASF is in more parts of the world than not. And so the threat, the risk is the same as it was when we were really talking about ASF. And so we need to continue to focus on preparedness and response and on-farm biosecurity.
Forsyth says that work on a vaccine still is progressing as quickly as possible.
Yeah, the vaccine research continues. There are, you know, several different vaccines. This is an interest of industries far beyond the United States. And so that allows for a lot of collaboration across border and in countries that are dealing with the virus itself. So it's not easy to make a vaccine for this particular virus. It's not easy to get a vaccine approved for this particular virus. And so the expectation was not that it happened quickly. The update for now is that we are still working on the vaccine.
This is why the NPPC is working hard with other animal industries like beef and poultry to lobby for funding for the needed tools and resources in the Farm Bill. Dr. Forsyth calls it a barnyard approach.
And so animal health priorities, and as you mentioned, amongst the barnyard, focus on a few different areas. First, funding for the National Animal Health Laboratory Network. So here in Iowa, you've got a fantastic veterinary diagnostic lab, a lot of updates to that laboratory recently. And so that's certainly a member lab of the NALM. So continued funding for those laboratories. The National Veterinary Vaccine and Countermeasures Bank historically is really focused on foot and mouth disease vaccine and will continue. Should we get an approved African swine fever vaccine, that would be an important asset for storing that vaccine in the event that we need it.
That's Dr. Anna Forsyth of the National Pork Producers Council. Well, there's a push to get key farm products on a critical minerals list. Corey Rosenbusch, president of the Fertilizer Institute, testified before the House Subcommittee on Energy and Mineral Resources, saying phosphate and potash are two of three essential nutrients for ag productivity.
And we must ensure that these critical minerals can be accessed. Deficiencies in any of these nutrients will lead to crop yield failure, and our global partners have recognized that. Both Canada and the European Union have put these minerals on their own critical minerals list.
In the U.S., critical minerals are defined as essential to economic or national security of the U.S. and have supply chain vulnerabilities.
The U.S. only accounts for about 7% of global fertilizer production, and we are a net importer of fertilizer. As a matter of fact, over 90% of all fertilizers are actually used outside the United States, making U.S. farmers even more vulnerable to supply shocks.
Belarus and Russia supply 40% of total world potash production, with only 12 countries as other options. Rosenbusch says the U.S. relies on global markets for potash, and 95% is imported.
We are fortunate that we do indeed get 80% of our potash from Canada. However, Canada is not immune from supply chain disruptions. For example, in 2023, we curtailed shipments and production of potash because of a dock worker strike.
And there are only 11 major phosphate-producing countries. China and Morocco are the two largest producers, combined at about 58% of the market. Rosenbusch says the U.S. frequently imports phosphate to meet producer demand.
And permitting is perhaps our biggest challenge to accessing these minerals. One recent permitting example of a phosphate mine in Idaho required 10 years and $36 million to complete.
And once again, that's Corey Rosenbusch from the Fertilizer Institute. We're out of time here on AOA Today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for...
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS.